All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Book It Better, our featurette, the rebook of WWF 1994. I'm joined by the superstar, Jay Velasquez, and we are starting here. It's week one of July 1994, and it's going to be sort of a podcast series that follows. We'll be doing a total rebook of WWF 1994. So we're taking over its finances, we're taking over its hiring, its firings, its booking, its creative, everything. We're taking it over. We're seeing if we can do it differently or better than Vince McMahon. We may have a few kind of wacky storylines in here as well. We'll get into it. We're starting in July, which means this podcast right now, this is going to sort of be our creative meeting. We're building into SummerSlam. So Jay's on the line here, and let's kind of start getting into it. This is going to be sort of a really unstructured podcast here, but so basically, if you're listening to this, this will also be a YouTube series, so it's the Book It Better YouTube channel. You can go check that out. We're going to have some tutorial videos on how to play this game. The game we're using for this is called Total Extreme Wrestling 2016. It's developed by Adam Ryland at Grey Dog Software. If you're a wrestling fan and you've never played this game, go over to greydogsoftware.com, check out TEW 2016. It's Total Extreme Wrestling 2016. It is... if you're a wrestling nerd like I am and like we are, this game is awesome. If you think you can do a better job than the WWE, if you think you can do a better job than WCW did, you definitely want this game. We've got it modded right now for 1994. That's where we start right now. So you can check out our YouTube channel. It's Book It Better. And we'll have the video of the actual shows. They'll go up. With no spoilers. If you're listening to this podcast, you're going to get spoilers because this is basically our creative meeting. It's going to be super unstructured. It's just us bullshitting, trying to figure out where we're going to go and what we're going to do. So without further ado, Superstar, let's get into kind of figuring out where we're going here.
So do we want to start with the main event, or do we want to work up to the main event? What do you think is the easier starting point?
Let's start with the main event. So we're... basically, we've got... so, how many weeks do we have before? Let me pull up the game here so we can see this. We have... what are we? Week one of July. So, we got 3 weeks. We got 7 weeks, essentially. Maybe eight. To book... to get us to SummerSlam. We do have one In Your House pay-per-view before that. So, for now, let's start with the main event of SummerSlam. We have a storyline kind of going here. It's Brett versus Owen. I kind of like this. Brett, so Owen, I guess we should get on the same page here. Is Brett versus Owen main eventing SummerSlam? Is that the direction that we're going here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
okay.
That's the obvious matchup here, yeah.
Okay, so Brett versus Owen is going to main event SummerSlam. I kind of like this, actually, because I want to do a thing where, like, the King of the Ring actually means something. So what I'm thinking of doing is the King of the Ring. So just like the Royal Rumble winner gets a title shot at Mania, I think the winner of the King of the Ring should get a title shot at SummerSlam. It works out perfectly. King of the Ring's in June. SummerSlam's in August. It gives 2 months of build. And Owen, in 94, we're just past this point, but historically speaking, Owen has won the King of the Ring. So it works out perfectly to do Brett versus Owen at SummerSlam. That's the storyline that's already going here. And Jay, I know you can see my screen here, but so the basic description is the fierce brotherly rivalry is the result of Owen being tired of walking in the shadows of his older brother for so many years and now wanting to step out of the shadows and prove himself. So if you watched WWF in 1994, we're probably not going to change all that much on this particular storyline. I think that's just the way to go with it, really, is, you know, this is a big brother, little brother, you broke my G.I. Joe and I'm still pissed about it kind of feud.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to definitely put Brett over at SummerSlam?
I think so. I don't... I don't really know that I see
the
Owen.
The only other way we could book this differently than WWF did in 94 is if Brett views Owen as like a threat to his reign and him being in the top spot, that he's purposely trying to hold Owen down.
So, okay. So is it...
So, I mean, but we would have to book Brett as the heel and Owen as the face.
Right, so there'd need to be a turn somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to do this storyline differently than the way WWF built this in 94.
We need to
decide, are we going to go, you know, a similar route that they did or try and do this completely different?
I really feel like for this particular one, at least until SummerSlam, we may as well do this one the way they did it, because I don't know that it's worth it to turn Brett heel, just given the fact that, I mean, if we look at our main event, let's see, our main event, babyface, you're looking at Hart, Luger, Randy Savage, Razor Ramon, Tatanka, and The Undertaker. Those are our main event baby faces. Whereas on the heel side in your main event, we've got Bam Bam Bigelow, Diesel, Jeff Jarrett. Screw that guy. We're gonna job him out. Jerry Lawler's in there. I don't know why Jerry Lawler, but you've got Shawn Michaels, Yokozuna.
So we'd basically just be swapping Brett and Owen.
Yeah, I mean,
Brett's gonna be our guy, 94 through 95. Correct.
I think so. I think if we're riding one guy, if I had to pick one dude, and I'm not, you know, could it be Shawn Michaels? It could, if we want to make it a heel. We could put the belt on Shawn earlier than usual. But, yeah, I don't see any reason not for it not to be Brett, you know. And if Brett's going to be our guy, then I just don't see, in terms of star power, Owen's great, don't get me wrong, I love Owen. But he doesn't have the star power that Brett's got, you know.
Right. Right.
But
I mean, how involved do we want the entire Hart family to be in this feud? Because if I remember correctly, sorry to cut you off, I think Stu and what's their mother's name? Is it Martha?
Stu and why don't I remember her name? I don't remember. God, can't I remember her name? It's not Martha. Stu Hart.
But if I remember correctly, they were very involved in that storyline.
They were. Now, I want to... Well, at least I think they were. I'm not sure. Let me look. I want to see... Is Stu Hart even in the game? Can we even use Stu Hart? I don't think he's even in the game. No, Stu's not even in the game, so we can't use Stu. What we do have is... Jim Neidhart works for us. He's in the storyline. So you've got Owen and Jim are kind of a team. So I'd like to use Jim Neidhart in this story because he's already in it. And he's actually got decent star power. The game gives him a 70 out of 100. So not terrible. Decent charisma. They've got him pretty... I think they actually have him overrated in this game. But we've got Neidhart in it. We could... I mean, theoretically, I mean, if we go to Bret Hart, I mean, in terms of people that could be brought into it, I mean, we can use Bruce and Keith Hart, so we could use his brothers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might be able to even do, like, a storyline. If you want to do it a little differently than WWF did, I mean, we could make this a storyline where Bruce and Keith come in. So let's say Owen's saying that Brett has always had everything handed to him, he never had to earn anything, just typical little brother jealousy kind of stuff. We could have Bruce and Keith come in and either side with Owen or kind of take up arms for Brett, saying, you know, no, that's not how it went, whatever. You know, honestly, though, I mean, I see. I mean, Bruce, let me look up how good are Bruce and Keith. I mean, would they even be worth bringing in? Bruce Hart... So he is a wrestler in the game. He's not terrible. We could get a decent match out of him. What about Keith Hart? Keith is 41. He's an okay wrestler. So I wonder if bringing these guys in is actually going to hurt the storyline, as opposed to, you know, you've just got Owen and Brett going at it. It's brotherly love, but, you know, they're pissed at each other. They're putting on great matches. I wonder if bringing in the whole Hart family is just going to do more harm than good. Nobody cares. In terms of popularity, nobody even knows who Keith and Bruce Hart are, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even know who these guys were growing up.
Right. If you brought these in, no one in America knows who these guys are. So my gut says, let's just leave it at Brett versus Owen. That'll be our SummerSlam main event.
Right.
You know, and it's a basic big brother, little brother kind of feud. We could have Jim Neidhart and Owen attack Brett every now and, you know, on a couple episodes of Monday Night Raw. But I really see it as just a... I see it more as just kind of like...
And I'm just going to spitball here. I just had an idea pop in my head because I know we have to get to the Quebecers because the Quebecers are involved in some sort of storyline right now.
Yeah.
And do you want to play like a... like a Canadian thing, like for example, like Owen Hart kind of starts his own Hart Foundation with like other Canadians, and he has Neidhart on his side. And at some point, to advance the story, you know, Brett could face Jim Neidhart on like a Raw or like a what is the next pay per view before SummerSlam? In Your House.
It's In Your House, yeah. So
and it'd be like a wonky finish between Brett and Neidhart where Neidhart goes over, but on a dirty finish, because with the help of the heat action.
Is that it In Your House or on a Raw? Would you be like
either
would,
way?
Because if you put Neidhart like, over,
you could make it like a new stable to put Owen over as the top heel.
So, okay. So we
like I said, I'm just...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not the worst idea, because it would give us a way... So, there is a storyline in-game. It's the breakup of the Quebecers. It's not really... It doesn't have any real heat. Where are we here? The breakup of the Quebecers. It's got decent heat, but honestly, I don't particularly care about either one of the Quebecers. But... It's Johnny Polo, actually, who is actually... I didn't realize. That's Raven. So Johnny Polo is Raven. He's the guy that, in the end, I want him to look the best. Because... So he's sided with Pierre. It's Pierre versus Jacques. Johnny Polo is sided with Pierre. I want him to come out looking the best. But I could see a scenario where we intertwine... Like, if Owen decides, you know what... I've got Jim Neidhart on my side. I'm gonna start my own Hart Foundation. I'm gonna reintroduce the Hart Foundation, but I'm the boss, and it's Jim Neidhart. If he brings in Jacques Rougeau, because he's Canadian, right? So he brings in Jacques Rougeau. That forces Pierre to side. Actually, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Hold on, I gotta see. Pierre. Pierre's the bad guy, actually. So Owen Hart brings in Pierre on his side. That forces Jacques Rougeau to work with Bret Hart. And at In Your House, you still get Jacques versus Pierre. And that kind of blows off their feud, right? That ends their feud. And you've got Bret versus... Maybe you do Brett versus Neidhart at In Your House for the title. And then, so Jacques versus Pierre would continue on. That means I would imagine Pierre would stay with that Hart Foundation, that stable, right? After In Your House.
Mm-hmm.
Jacques would kind of... I don't know, how does that end? I mean, does that build all the way to Survivor Series? Survivor Series is in November. You could have the Hart Foundation versus whoever Bret Hart's team is. I don't know. It's not the worst idea.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, I think it's an interesting concept to explore. I mean, we don't... you know, I feel like Owen...
Let me take some notes on this here.
Be in that top spot because of Brett. And they always played him kind of as like, you know, the... they always played him up as being like the jealous, you know, kind of like a... the kind of like the cheating heel, kind of like cheap shotting heel.
Right.
I'm interested in seeing almost like the leader of his own stable.
Yeah, well, it would. I'm gonna make a note of that because it would. So if Owen adds Pierre, he's also adding Johnny Polo because Pierre and Johnny Polo are like a thing, right? So now you've got four guys, right? You've got Owen, Neidhart, Pierre, and Polo. They're all wrestlers. They're all workers. This could actually be a great way to get Johnny Polo over as a legitimate guy as well. We could.
And you said Johnny Polo's Raven, right?
That's Raven, yeah. So, you know, it's Raven under his whatever he was Johnny Polo in the WWF. But so if we do, if he uses them, right, then that means Pierre, that means Rougeau, Jock pairs with Brett. There would have to be, there'd have to be somebody else on Brett's side, you know, at least one more, or not necessarily. It could just be Brett and Jock taking on the New Heart Foundation, and they kind of battle through, in your house. And in your house, you get Jock versus Pierre one on one. You get Brett versus, you could do Brett versus Neidhart one on one. Maybe that match ends with a disqualification, interference from Owen or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be a non-title match. Well, okay, title match if Brett's going to win by disqualification.
Yeah.
Or a non-title match if he's going to get pinned in the cheap way, like by some tights or like Owen holding his ankle down from under the ring or something like that.
What if we don't do a world title match at In Your House? What if we do Owen?
Right, because why would Owen want Neidhart, who's on his team, to go over at In Your House if he has a shot at the title at SummerSlam?
Well, I mean, Owen could see it as, well, Neidhart will just lay down for him. But, yeah, it does make sense. Well, we could do, what if we did, we could actually advance both stories with one match if we do Brett and Jock versus Owen and Pierre. And then I don't know if that match would be good enough to main event, but we do have Razor versus Diesel in a feud over the Intercontinental title. The Intercontinental title could main event that show. It's just In Your House. It's not a huge main, it's just In Your House. It's not, you know, if the Intercontinental title main events that show, it's not really that big a deal. So if we did Owen and Pierre versus Jock and Brett, and Pierre beats Jock, Owen could then come out saying, oh, he already beat Brett once at In Your House. He beat him. It was a tag team. And Brett saying, well, like, really, Owen didn't really do anything. It wasn't Owen that won the match. It was Pierre who went over Jock, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe they had help from Johnny Polo or something. That could lead into SummerSlam, the one-on-one Brett versus Owen. Then you get Jock versus Pierre one-on-one at SummerSlam. Neidhart is kind of there as an enforcer, really. And Johnny Polo, kind of the same thing. At this point, he's kind of the mouthpiece for Pierre. But yeah, you could technically have a New Heart Foundation led by Owen, where it's Owen, Neidhart, Pierre and Polo, and, you know, then Brett just kind of throws together a little ragtag team of his own, where it's him and Jacques versus those four. Maybe they get one more guy in there someplace, but they don't necessarily have to. I mean, it can be 4-on-2, isn't really. We're basically just taking two storylines and intertwining them into one, and, you know, in doing that, it's going to bump that breakup of the Quebecers. That's kind of a shitty storyline. But if you intertwine it with the main event storyline, suddenly it makes a big difference. Suddenly it's a big deal, you know?
Right. Now, are those guys, like the Quebecers being involved, going to bring down the star power of that match? Or,
no.
Like, is it going to hurt Brett or Owen? Or is it solely, is Bret and Owen solely going to help those guys?
I think it'll be Bret and Hart. I think it'll be Bret and Owen helping those guys. Will it? So will it bring down it? Will it bring it down a little bit? Yeah. I mean, obviously, Bret versus Owen one-on-one is going to get a better rating. It's going to be a bigger match than Bret and Jock versus Pierre and Owen. But for in your house, that's a fine match. And, you know, as long as we're not doing that at SummerSlam. You know, as long as that's not main eventing SummerSlam, as long as Bret and Owen get the main event on that one, one-on-one, then no, it's not going to hurt. It'll actually help the Quebecers, because just, at least from a game perspective, the Quebecers working with Bret and Owen is going to raise their popularity. It's going to raise their visibility. So it's going to help the Quebecers, actually. So I actually like that a lot. So let me make a note of that. In the Quebecers feud here, that we're going to have Quebecers are going to take sides in the Owen versus Bret feud and have a tag match at in your house. Is that the way we're going, is a tag match?
Yeah, I mean...
Or would you rather... Because, I mean, we could do a match like Bret versus Jim Neidhart for the title at In Your House and have a wonky finish where Bret, you know, Bret wins or maybe, you know, whatever. But then we got to figure out what to do. What's Owen doing on that show? Is Owen not on In Your House at all? And if we do the singles match, if we do Jock versus Pierre at In Your House, then that kind of ends... That's the blow-off to their feud. Once you do that one-on-one match... That's kind of the blow-off to that feud, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't mind. If we blow off, if we do the Pierre versus Jacques one-on-one match, and we put Pierre, because in the end I want Pierre to go over Jacques, honestly. But if we put Pierre over Jacques, I hate that name, Jacques. I hate saying it. I hate saying it. I feel like an idiot saying it. If you put him over... That pretty much ends that particular storyline. They could still be involved in the Bret versus Owen, so we could basically say, okay, the breakup of the Quebecers is over, and now we're adding them into the Bret versus Owen storyline. So they don't have to be completely out, but it's just that them head-to-head, you know, but if we're going to do... I honestly think at In Your House, a tag team match might be the better way to go, because then we can build a little more heat between Pierre and Jacques, and then we can do that one-on-one match at SummerSlam.
Right. So, no, yeah, I agree.
So if we main event, let's have the main event be the Intercontinental title, right? Intercontinental, hold on, am I spelling this right? Intercontinental title. Let's do Diesel is the champ versus Razor Ramon. That's going to main event... That'll main event In Your House. So it'll be, actually, it's Diesel with HBK versus Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental belt. Now we'll do a tag match. The semi-main event here will be, that'll be Bret and Jacques versus Owen and Pierre.
Yeah, I guess you could put Neidhart out in their corner, right?
Yeah, so basically they would have Neidhart and Johnny Polo in their corner. So it's actually it's basically, this is a no-win situation essentially for Bret and Jacques. There's no way they can pull this off. And so that's actually the story that I'd like to tell there, maybe, is so Bret and Jacques, maybe they have the match won, but Polo and Neidhart, so let me put that in there with Polo and the Anvil. So maybe they have the match won, and Polo and Neidhart interfere with the match, and Pierre picks up the win over Jacques, or Owen picks up the win. I mean, we could put Owen over Bret here. If Owen goes over Bret due to interference from the Anvil or Polo, then that gives Owen that... I beat Bret.
I definitely think that's the way to go. Pierre pinning Jacques, like, who cares?
Okay, that's a good point. So let me put Owen in bold here. So Owen's going over. All
right, but it's so, gotta be a dirty finish, though, obviously.
Yeah.
Some interference or...
Let me make a note here, dirty finish. So, yeah, so we'll have Polo and Anvil interfere. Maybe even without the ref seeing. Maybe Owen goes for a pin or something, and, you know, maybe Polo reaches into the ring and holds Bret Hart's feet so he can't kick out and the ref doesn't see it or something.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. But let's do that. And then from there, you know, we can do, you know, basically your basic promos. Owen beat Bret. Bret says, you know, you beat me in a tag and you beat me. You had to have your two men in your corner, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we have some, you know, backstage attacks, basic stuff like that. And then we get at SummerSlam. We build into SummerSlam where we get Owen Hart with the Anvil versus Bret Hart for the title.
Yeah, I think Bret definitely has to be out there alone for this one.
Yeah, Bret goes out alone. We get, let's see. Then we get Jacques versus Pierre with Polo. And I want Pierre to go over there, I think. Let me look at Jacques. What's the difference between the two of them? So in terms of star power, let's see. Jacques's not bad.
Jacques was he the Mountie?
Yes, I think. Let me. It was either Jacques or Pierre were. I'm not sure. Now I'm curious. Let me see.
Jacques, go.
Let me see his. I can tell you. Can I change his name? Yeah, that's where I'll see. His alter egos. Let me see. Yes, Jacques was the Mountie. So, So he's 34. Pierre is 26. So to me, Pierre's going to be the guy who goes over here. And then from there, we can do like a Pierre versus Johnny Polo feud eventually to get Johnny over. Johnny's actually even older. He's 29 here. You know, maybe, you know, one of them stays here, one of them stays here. I don't know, whatever it is. But, I mean, Polo, I mean, you look at his numbers here. Polo's good in the ring. You can get a good match out of Johnny Polo. And you can get an even better promo out of him. So in the end, I kind of want Johnny. But I'm thinking this feud gets both Johnny Polo and Pierre over. I don't know that either of them make it past the upper mid card. But we might be able to get two solid mid to upper mid carders out of this feud, especially if they're working with Bret and Owen. So let's make a note here. Okay, Quebecer is going to take sides and have a tag match in your house. Pierre and Owen win at in your house via funny business.
All right.
Then Jacques, then, let's see, then Pierre goes over Jacques at SummerSlam clean. I want that to be clean because I want the breakup of the Quebecers to end at SummerSlam. I don't want it to go after SummerSlam, Pierre kind of gets the push, Jacques goes down.
You said he's 34, Jacques?
Jacques is 34, yeah. So yeah, I think after SummerSlam, Jacques just kind of maintains that mid card, and we try and get Pierre over as a high mid card guy. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but we'll get Pierre over there. So that's good. Then Owen forms. He doesn't necessarily have to form his own Hart Foundation. Well, actually, yeah, that would be the only one that really makes sense. Why else would Pierre and Polo be helping him? Whether it's a full-blown Hart Foundation is kind of irrelevant. It's basically just, hey, we're going to form this little team here.
Right.
Okay. So Owen forms his own... they get a tag match in your house. And Owen goes over Bret due to funny business.
There we go.
Alright.
I think it works too, Owen forming this stable, because it would call into question Owen's own belief if he could beat Bret without anybody around him.
Exactly.
You know, so I think it plays into that heel persona as well.
I like that. Yeah. Like as if like he's not even really sure. Like he's not even sure right. He believes what he's saying.
Right.
For the title. Brett goes over. Okay. Okay, so I think that's, in general, that's kind of the idea and the direction for both of those feuds. Because, and then we'll kind of book it on the fly as we go through the Monday Night Raws. We'll kind of just use that as an overview for, you know, just building that. But we'll basically keep this general.
Right. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, what kind of rating would Jacques versus Pierre have gotten one-on-one to break up the Quebec?
No, it's going to get – it'll yeah, it's going to get a mid to low grade kind of thing. It's not really going to be, right. You know. All right, our next storyline that is already in is Atom Bomb versus Quang or Quang. I don't even know how you say that. Is it Quang?
Yeah, it's Quang.
It's Savio Vega. the storyline is – where are we? Quang and Atom Bomb were both managed by Harvey Whippleman. On May 28th, 1994, a King of the Ring qualifying match between Bomb and the 1-2-3 Kid saw the Kid win after Quang attempted to interfere on Bomb's behalf. Quang accidentally spat green mist in Bomb's face, allowing the Kid to get the victory. Whippleman had Bomb and Quang work as a tag team, but problems continued to develop. Okay, so we've basically... Who is Whippleman aligned with? Nobody. All right, so this is your standard... pissing match, really. Honestly, my gut on this, I don't particularly care about either one of these guys. I say we end this storyline at In Your House. So we just do a couple of angles leading into it, maybe a match here or there. It's only 3 weeks of TV. And we put
Yeah, I mean, I think Adam Bomb should go over in this one just yeah. because he's, you know, the big guy.
Yeah. Kato had a good idea, and I'm mentioning names of people who aren't even on the podcast here. Kato is our co-podcaster who's not here today, but we were talking, and he had thrown out the idea of signing Sid Vicious, bringing him in as Psycho Sid, and putting him in a tag team with Atom Bomb. And I kind of like that idea. I kind of like the way those two guys might pair up.
Yeah, and what's the tag team division looking like right now?
Yeah,
because they could be an absolute force.
Yeah, our tag team division is not very good right now. So it's Diesel and Shawn Michaels are a tag team, but they're individuals. They're not really a tag team. They're not
right. Yeah, they don't count.
We've got Double Trouble. I don't even know who that is. It's and they literally are listed in this game as Double Trouble 1 and Double Trouble 2. They don't even have names. Okay. They're jobbers essentially. We do have Men on a Mission. We've got Mabel and Mo, and they have been tag team champions before. So it looks like they had it for a week in March. The Executioners, that's Gilbert and Barry Hardy. They're known as Pain and Agony. Again, they're jobbers. We do have the Hardy Boys, but Jeff is 16. And Matt is 19, so right now they're jobbers. And, I mean, as we had talked about, we're definitely going to have a storyline where Jeff Hardy learns to drive, and who else but the spark plug is going to teach him how to drive. So we'll definitely be having some vignettes. So, but they are a tag team, they are in the game, so we could push them. We do have the Head Shrinkers, our current champions, Samu and Fatu. The New Foundation, Owen and Jim, but they're individuals. We do have the Rock and Roll Express, but they're old. The Smoking Guns, and Well Done, Stephen Dunn and Timothy Well. They look sort of like jobbers.
Looks like hot garbage to me.
It looks like what?
This looks like hot garbage to me.
Yeah. So essentially, the tag teams that we're rolling with, we got the Smoking Guns, we've got the Head Shrinkers, and we've got Men on a Mission. I mean, we can push the Hardy Boys, but they're children essentially. They're Jeff is 16 years old. You know, at this point they're jobbers. So yeah, I mean, point being, yeah, I think Psycho Sid and Atom Bomb could run the tag team division. Honestly, they'd be a huge boost. I think. So if that's something, maybe before we even get started, let me go find Psycho Sid. Hold on. Where's Sid Vicious? Here he is. He is unemployed. No, he's working for USWA, but he's not an exclusive contract there. So let me negotiate with him. Razor Ramon thinks it would be a good idea. Diesel thinks it'd be a good idea. So let's offer him a 1-year contract. Let's see. Travel is not covered. He gets no bonus. Unlimited appearances. Yeah, let's make him that offer. All right, so we're going to have to wait a day or two to hear back from him. But if he signs with us, then yeah, I think we just maybe we keep him off TV until In Your House. And after In Your House, him and Adam Bomb, we don't even have to really introduce them as a tag team. It's just kind of one of those things where they'll just start tagging together, right? So Adam Bomb goes over Quang, and then they just kind of start teaming together.
Yeah, and is Sid Vicious going to be like a surprise? Like, are we going to have to do vignettes leading up to it, up to his debut? Because do people know him as Sid Vicious?
People know him as Sid Vicious, and actually I'm looking at his popularity right now. So out of 100, he's like a 76, so he's very popular. He would immediately be a main eventer, and if he works with Adam Bomb, that could do wonders for Adam Bomb. So yes, people are definitely going to know who he is. What we could do, actually, we could, if we wanted to kind of hype him, we could do some vignettes, kind of teasing his signing.
Because ultimately, it's a change of character, right? He's going to be coming in as Psycho Sid.
As Psycho Sid, right. I think that's, yeah. So what we could do, yeah, we could do some vignettes where he's, you know, maybe Adam Bomb, you know, he's a little crazy and he's talking about, you know, I don't know, how would we get them into a tag team? I mean, what makes sense if, because if we're going to tease Sid coming in, we have to be teasing the tag team essentially, right?
Yeah, are we looking for a tag match at In Your House or at SummerSlam?
Probably at SummerSlam, because I want to just do the Adam Bomb versus Quang at In Your House. Get that out of the way.
Okay. Yeah. I think their first match together should be at SummerSlam and kind of play from the angle like, you know, can these two psychopaths even team up together? You know, can they be compatible? Because they're both kind of like loose cannons.
Now,
and they somehow, you know, can work together and get the job done.
Okay, I like it. We would have to turn. Let me see. We'd have to turn Adam Bomb because he is a face right now, but he plays a way better heel than a face. So the fact that he's a face right now actually doesn't serve him well. So what we could do, we could tease the return. We could tease the debut of Psycho Sid, and then at In Your House, Psycho Sid comes out during the match or after the match, and Sid and Adam Bomb beat down on Quang, and they beat him down to the point where we get like a double turn, you know, where Quang is the bad guy going into the match, Bomb is the face, and by the end of it, it's kind of the other way around, you know?
Right. So is Adam Bomb going to go over, and then why would Sid come out? Are we not? Are we gonna explore that, or
it could be
simply just to debut him?
I think it would just be to debut him, right? Because ultimately, you want the whole point is to team Adam Bomb and Sid. So
yeah.
So Sid's debut has to be to form that team, right? So maybe, you know, the only thing I could think of would be that Sid comes out, and you know. They, you know, maybe him and Adam Bomb kind of have a stare down, and then together they beat down Quang. But would that get across the point of Adam Bomb is turning heel, or would that be more along the lines of debuting Sid as a face? Because they need to be heels.
Yes.
They need to be heels. So Adam Bomb being a face right now kind of hamstrings us.
And what is Adam Bomb's current story? Is it's just okay? So you said it earlier. So Quang accidentally spit in the face of Adam Bomb.
Right. That's it. I mean, we don't have to end. We don't have to end the story at In Your House. It doesn't even have to make it to In Your House. We can end this story on Monday Night Raw. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, what is Adam Bomb versus Quang really going to do for us at a pay-per-view? Nothing really. You know?
All right.
So we could just end this on Monday Night Raw, then debut Sid on Monday Night Raw. He's teaming with Adam Bomb.
Yeah.
You know, he teams, and now we've got the tag team now, and we're building that toward, you know, now they can have a tag team match, maybe for number one contendership and In Your House, and then they're at SummerSlam for the titles or something. You know, we don't have to. We might be better off just ending this at Monday Night Raw, turning Adam Bomb heel and debuting Sid. You know, but right. Adam Bomb needs a way to turn. Or what if Quang goes over Adam? So Quang goes over on Monday Night Raw, and. I was gonna say it could be like one of those things where like Adam Bomb disappears for a while, and then we start seeing vignettes for him and Psycho Sid as a team, and they come back as a team. I don't know.
I just feel Psycho Sid debuting to beat down Quang. Like, who the fuck is Quang? I mean, we say that ourselves. So, I mean,
right.
I feel like there's no... Like, no one's going to care.
Right. That's kind of... I feel like it might just be better... What if Adam Bomb goes over on... So, we've got Monday Night Raw, like, literally... He's the first thing we have to do on our to-do list right now is to book Monday Night Raw after we come up with the storylines. What if we just have Adam Bomb go over on Monday Night Raw? Simple, whatever, it ends the storyline, no big deal, and then Adam Bomb somehow turns heel. He doesn't have to turn heel against Quang, he could turn heel against anybody, you know? So we could turn him now, he's had no recent turns that would cause any issues, so we could turn him, like, now. He could beat Quang on Monday Night Raw this week, and then turn heel next week, you know? But we just would have to figure out. I mean, we can turn him heel just by doing a standard beatdown angle, right? He turns on a babyface and beats him down. You know, maybe next week he's in a tag team match with somebody, right? Another babyface, and so during that match, Sid debuts or something, and him and Adam Bomb. Beat down Adam's teammate, and that would turn Adam Bomb heel. You know, it doesn't have to be. It's not our main storyline, so I mean, it could just be a basic. Well, I was a good guy, now I'm a bad guy kind of turn. You know.
Right, but if he's kind of going to be changing character as well and being like crazy guy. Right? That's what Kato said.
Yes.
So what if he? What drives him insane?
What if he loses to Quang, right? He loses to Quang, disappears for 3 weeks, and then we start getting vignettes where we see Adam Bomb, or maybe he doesn't disappear. Maybe he's on TV, but you can see him starting to snap, right? Like, he loses to Quang, and that loss just, he can't handle... Maybe he just can't handle being that he let Quang get the better of him. He trusted Quang, and Quang got the better of him. And he knows it, and, you know, it just... And then he just kind of slowly slips until he decides, you know, he just... I don't know. I don't know where that story could go, where we could... I mean, they don't have to be... Would they have to be psychos, or could we debut Sid as Sid Vicious?
Yeah, I mean, that could work perfectly fine. It's just, I think we need to decide how we're going to book them in terms of character, because I think the way we team them up is pivotal to the story. Because if we can't just say they're both psychos, like, we need to kind of show that.
Right. Well, let me see Sid here, because Adam Bomb, he doesn't actually have... If you look at his ratings here, his ability to play somebody crazy, he's only rated a 40 out of 100. He's more of a brute character, where he's got his ability to play a brute is 75 out of 100. So we might be better off if we go to Sid Vicious here. His crazy is 90. What about brute? Brute rating is also a 90. So they could just play two brutes, like two dangerous. They could have a little bit of that crazy side, but not really be true psychos, you know? Where they're maybe he just decides, Adam Bomb just decides, no, you know what? I tried to be the nice guy and team up with this guy, you know, and they turned on me. No, now it's no, but that then he wouldn't want to be a tag team with anybody, really. You know, if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Let's revisit this. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next one. We'll revisit this one. All right, because the next one we got here is the Battle of the Undertakers. This one I think is going to be a lot easier. Because we still have a couple of storylines here that we want to try and figure out. What the Battle of the Undertakers, again, I don't really like this storyline ever. I didn't like it then, I don't like it now. But I do like the idea. So the fake Undertaker is working with, well, let me read the thing here just in case anybody listening doesn't know this story. Undertaker versus Undertaker says Ted DiBiase, who originally introduced the Undertaker into the WWF in 1990, claims to have done it again following the Undertaker's disappearance after the 94 Royal Rumble. The imposter, who competed for several weeks, was not guided by urns, but rather by the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase's money. Paul Bearer, the manager of the Undertaker, accused DiBiase of lying and claimed that he had made contact with the real Undertaker. So, basically, DiBiase is saying Undertaker is fueled by money now, he has the real Undertaker. Obviously, Paul Bearer says he has the real Undertaker. So, we'll have some feuds there, some storylines there. I think leading into In Your House, maybe we don't ever really see the real Undertaker. We just run some vignettes that kind of hype him up as returning, right? Paul Bearer does some promos, and we see the vignettes building that. I really would like to just do, at In Your House, let's just do Undertaker versus Undertaker at In Your House. Put the real Undertaker over, right? Well, actually, we were doing this by SummerSlam, right? So at SummerSlam, my goal match, I think, is SummerSlam versus is Undertaker versus Bam Bam Bigelow at SummerSlam. Bigelow's only 32 years old. He's got the skills, man. He's somebody that I really just feel like if we're gonna do things differently than WWF did, I want to give Bam Bam, a good push. You know, because that's one guy that I think could have gotten over as a world champion at some point, even if it was just, a transitional kind of champion. But he's somebody I felt like could have gotten over and never got the chance. So if we're going to do things a little differently, I think a push for Bam Bam makes sense. He's also in Ted DiBiase's Million Dollar Corporation.
Right.
So what I was thinking is real Undertaker returns in Your House and goes over fake Undertaker. Ted DiBiase basically fires fake Undertaker from the Million Dollar Corporation. In reality, we're just going to release him from his contract because he's not very good. So we release him from his contract after that. And then DiBiase, you said something about offering a bounty or something, offering to pay Bam Bam a ton of money to take out the Undertaker.
Right, so after the real Undertaker wins, doesn't DiBiase offer the real Undertaker some money to come join his corporation? And of course, Undertaker declines. And then DiBiase, in a fit of rage, offers Bam Bam Bigelow way more money than he offered Undertaker, just for his head.
I like it. I mean, and then honestly, then we just build 4 weeks of TV where Bam Bam Bigelow is trying to get after the Undertaker, kind of can't really get at it, and then at SummerSlam we get Undertaker versus Bam Bam. I kind of like that story. It's a simple, easy to book storyline.
Yeah, and there could be some cool vignettes like on Bam Bam trying to hunt down Undertaker, mm-hmm. Going to cemeteries and whatnot. He can't find him.
Yeah.
And gets him in the ring at SummerSlam.
Okay, so let's see. After the match, let's see. Real Taker goes over it in Your House. After the match, DiBiase offers money to Undertaker to join his corporation.
And what do you think? How does he decline? Chokeslam or just walks away?
Yeah, I think a chokeslam is good. I think a chokeslam, he chokeslams him or he tombstones him or something. And then he declines with a chokeslam. And then next week on Raw, DiBiase offers Bam Bam a ton more money for Taker's head. Taker and Bam Bam vignettes. Bam Bam versus Taker at SummerSlam. Now, we don't have to make a decision now. We can wait and see how the feud goes. But I'm assuming Taker goes over at SummerSlam, correct? Again, we could kind of just see how the story develops. I mean, because Bam Bam, I mean, if we look at Bam Bam Bigelow, I mean, the guy, he's got good star power. He's not great on the microphone, but he's got Ted DiBiase talking for him. You know, he's a big, intimidating guy. His in-ring work is really good. You know, he sells well. He just kind of has that look, you know? He's not as popular as The Undertaker. Let me see. The Undertaker. So that's the fake Undertaker. This is the real Undertaker. Yeah, so Undertaker is way more popular. He's also a little bit younger. So at face value, I think Undertaker goes over at SummerSlam. And I think Bam Bam, even if he loses to The Undertaker, just being in a program with The Undertaker for the better half of a month and then getting a one-on-one match at SummerSlam, I think that's going to do a lot for Bam Bam in terms of popularity and his, you know, his overness, if you will, with the fans. You know what I'm saying? I think that's right. I think that alone, just being in the picture with The Undertaker, will do a lot for him.
Yeah, it gives him immediate credibility.
Yeah. So right now, let me bold this. We'll pencil in Undertaker as the winner. But I don't think that's as locked in as Brett versus Owen or something like that, where you know Brett's going to go over Owen. If I don't think Bam Bam would go over clean, but I wouldn't. If the storyline is hot and it's going really well, and we decide, you know what, we can push this a little further, another month or two, then maybe Bam Bam goes over after interference from DiBiase or something. He doesn't have to go over clean to, you know, to kind of continue. I think if we want to end the storyline, we put Taker over at SummerSlam. If we decide, hey, this is going really well, and both of these guys stand to benefit from it continuing, then we can put Bam Bam, or we can have a double DQ or something like that. You know, Bam Bam, Undertaker wins via DQ. There's a lot of ways that we can kind of keep that going. But for now, we may as well pencil in Undertaker as the winner, and then we can kind of change that as we go. Agreed? All right. No answer. You there?
Oh, yeah, I said I like it.
Oh, all right, cool. I didn't hear that. Okay, so I think that's good. That one's good to go. We got the breakup of the Quebecers. All right, we're down to Razor versus Diesel for the Intercontinental title. So this is, with the exception of Brett versus Owen, and I actually think this one might even be a better storyline than Brett versus Owen in terms of potential to be a huge payoff. We've got Brett versus Razor. That's not Brett. Diesel versus Razor is the current storyline. And let me see if I can get a little backstory on it here. Razor Ramon had been feuding with Shawn Michaels since late 93, winning the Intercontinental title from him. After defeating Shawn Michaels again at WrestleMania 10, Razor began feuding with Diesel, Michaels' bodyguard, who won the belt from Ramon through interference by Michaels. All right, so that's where we stand now. We've got Diesel, Razor, and Shawn in here. I'm thinking that we go at SummerSlam. I think a good idea could be Diesel versus Razor versus HBK. So we've got a triple threat for the Intercontinental title. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get there, because Diesel and Sean are a team, so somehow Sean would have to kind of insert himself into that title hunt.
Now, do you want that to be a straight triple threat or a gimmick match like a ladder or?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to a gimmick if we build it properly. I don't know if there'd be enough time in the feud to do a gimmick, especially a ladder, considering Razor and HBK already did that just a few months ago at WrestleMania 10. I kind of figured it would be a straight up triple threat match, but I wouldn't be opposed to some kind of a gimmick match. Why did you have did you have an idea for that?
No, I'm just spitballing. SummerSlam, you know, kind of a big pay-per-view. I think we need to have at least one of these gimmick matches in there on the card.
Okay. Well, I mean, Brett versus Owen, that could be the kind of thing that happens in a cage. If that's a, you know, I could see that sort of, you know, we could do Undertaker versus Bam Bam in a casket match. I wouldn't be opposed to, I mean, a ladder match with Diesel, Razor, and HBK wouldn't be the worst idea.
Well, yeah, because this is basically the fallout of WrestleMania 10, right? Where we're
yes,
at.
Yes, yes.
So, and Diesel, right, got ejected from that ladder match, and Razor,
I mean, you're
right. It's like overkill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's going to be a triple threat, it's, you know, we're sort of what would be the reason for the ladder match? That's one thing I hate. I don't like gimmicks for the sake of gimmicks. I think we'd be better off doing Brett versus Owen. If you want to put a gimmick on there, put Brett and Owen in a cage, because you could build a hot family blood feud, and you've also got the Anvil, and you've got Pierre and Polo, so there would be a reason for Brett to want that match in a cage. Basically being, hey, you know what, I don't want any funny business, I want this to be a straight up, you know, kind of thing, you know, I want a cage, I want to make sure that it's me and you, one-on-one, nobody interfering. I could see Brett and Owen being in a cage.
Yeah, no, I like it. Especially if there's outside interference set in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's, you know, because how are we going to book the Raws in between? Is Brett going to be a pay-per-view only kind of champion, or is he going to have matches during the Raws? And the only reason why I'm asking is, you know, if the end game is to put them both into a cage, then there would need to be constant interference in his matches on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I would say that Brett's kind of like a fighting champ where he's on Monday Night Raw and he is actually having matches.
Okay, so we can go that direction.
Yeah, I think that if we're going to put a gimmick match, I think the cage match just makes the most sense.
Okay.
So let's do that then. I'll pencil that in there. Diesel versus Razor versus HBK. Now, we'd have to come up with a storyline somehow to get there. I think what we could do at In Your House, if Diesel versus Razor is the main event, HBK already interfered to help Diesel win once. I could see it going two ways. Number one, Diesel tries to interfere, or rather HBK tries to interfere, accidentally costs Diesel the belt. And now Diesel's pissed at HBK, and HBK kind of feels like, well, F that, I'll put myself in this match. You know what? If you're going to get pissy like that, or you're going to do that, whatever, I'll show you. We'll make it a triple threat. Or HBK does some kind of like low-key politicking backstage to get himself put into the match as well. You know, without Diesel really knowing it. So then, now HBK is in. He's in the match. Diesel thinks, okay, well, this is a good thing. I've got HBK at SummerSlam. It's me versus Razor versus HBK. But me and HBK are buddies. So it's basically me and HBK versus Razor. whereas HBK has kind of been low-key behind the scenes the whole time, trying to weasel his way in so that he could actually win the Intercontinental belt at SummerSlam, you know?
Right. Now, how would you play that storyline on TV? You'd have him kind of doing backstage segments without Diesel, kind of alluding to that fact where we don't really know.
Yeah, I could see where you could just do a couple of segments where maybe you see him coming out of Vince's office. Or was Vince Vince wasn't the on-screen boss at the time. It would have been Gorilla Monsoon maybe, or whoever.
Jack Tunney maybe.
Yeah, whoever we decide to make our authority figure, you could kind of have, like, maybe just one where you just see him coming out of the office, but you don't really know what was going on. Or maybe he just drops, like, subtle hints, you know, when Diesel's not around that, you know, well, it was really, you know, it's because of me that he's the champ, you know. I mean, you know, you want to talk about the top Intercontinental champs of all time, you know, you're looking at, you know, something like that, where maybe he politics and politics and politics, and convinces whoever to get himself in there, or maybe he convinces Diesel to try and, you know, maybe he convinces Diesel, hey, it would be a good thing if this is a triple threat match. Now it's me and you versus Razor. It's a guarantee. You're good to go. You're going to win that match. No problem. You know, I don't have to help you. You know, maybe at In Your House, well, yeah, you know, at In Your House, he helps him win, right? But then at SummerSlam, he convinces Diesel, hey, if I was actually in the match, then I could help you the whole time, and they can't throw me out. You know what I'm saying? We can't even get disqualified because I'm in the match. I'm there legally. Then, you know, it could happen during the match. HBK kind of turns on Diesel and wins the belt. Or he doesn't turn on Diesel, but he just takes the belt off. You know, he pins Razor and takes the belt off Diesel without pinning Diesel. And now Diesel's pissed, like, well, what the F? You know, what the hell? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I like it. We just need to figure out a way of why would the authority figure, sign HBK into the match if they're just a known tag team? So
Maybe
if we do that on top of the vignettes of them coming... him coming out of the authority figure's office. Maybe he takes like little jabs at Diesel in the ring, saying, you know, he never had his rematch clause. He was just beaten by Razor Ramon, and then Diesel took the belt.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe, you know, he never got his rematch, so, you know, Diesel took the belt. He's been kind of a good friend. He's kind of letting him have his run, but, you know, I never got my rematch, so... you know, maybe after you beat Razor, you can give it to me or whatever, or something like that. And then Sean says, you know, maybe Diesel says, all right, well, after I beat Razor, you know, I'll give you a title shot. And Sean says, well, wait, what about, you know, what if I'm actually in the match? You know, and Diesel sees it as a good thing because it's like, all right, well, he's in the match, which, you know, that's going to help me a little bit. And then that kind of gets his, you know, I don't know.
I mean, or you could, at In Your House, you could have HBK literally just straight up turn on Diesel. Razor takes the belt from him. Diesel gets a rematch versus Razor, and because HBK was involved in the match, he just gets thrown into the triple threat.
What if HBK beats Razor on an episode of Monday Night Raw? And now he has grounds to say, well, Razor was the number one contender. I beat Razor. That should be me. Not only did I beat Razor, but I never got my rematch clause, so I should be in on the... it should be a triple threat. And Diesel likes it because Diesel sees it as... you know, it could be one of those where, like, backstage, HBK and Diesel are talking, and HBK is basically saying, hey, I just beat Razor. I could use that as an excuse to get into the match, and then it's good to go. Then we can both beat him down, no problem, and it's fine because I'm legally in the match. Diesel thinks it's a good thing, but the whole time HBK is thinking, this is my way back to the belt.
Right. No, I like that, actually.
All right, so
I think that's the perfect way to get him into the match.
All right, so Diesel, he takes on Razor In Your House. Okay. All right. HBK helps Diesel win at In Your House. HBK beats Razor on Raw and then uses that as an excuse to say he should be in the match at SummerSlam. Well, hold on. Alright. Helps Diesel win it in your house. Says he should be... HBK beats Razor on Raw and then uses that as... Well, hold on. First, it should be... Razor is given a rematch at SummerSlam due to the cheating. HBK beats Razor on Raw and says that should give him the title shot. HBK convinces Diesel that it should be a triple threat match, and that way Diesel is guaranteed to keep the belt because HBK can legally help. Oops. Legally help. Diesel agrees, and the match is set. I like that. So Diesel agrees to that, you know, because that way HBK's logic is sound. He would technically deserve that title shot. He never got his rematch clause, and he beat the number one contender. So that logic is sound. Diesel would, yeah, he would agree to that. They're good friends. They're tag team. Why would it be, you know, why would it be, you know, anything kind of, why would it be an issue? I think that's perfect.
And so, who would go over at SummerSlam?
Honestly, I don't know. I think that would just be one of those, let's let it play out, and we'll see who's putting on the best show, who's getting over. I kind of like the idea of pushing Razor into the world title picture at some point, maybe against Brett. I know Razor's a face and Brett's a face, but you could do a face versus face. It wouldn't be the biggest deal, or you could turn Razor or something.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that. So my gut feeling is HBK pins Razor to take the belt off of Diesel. That pisses Diesel off to no end. Like, what the hell, dude? You know, you could have at least pinned me. You snuck in there. You did that on purpose. And now we get a Diesel versus HBK feud, and Razor moves up into the world title picture.
Yeah, like, say, like, Diesel, like, jackknifes Razor Ramon. HBK super kicks Diesel out of the ring, and then ends Razor.
Yeah, I could see that. So let's pencil in HBK as the winner. You know, but, yeah, I think that basically... Now... Let's not, I mean, and we're winding down on time here, so let's, there's one more story that isn't in here yet that I want to, we'll kind of, well, actually here, there's Lex Luger versus Tatanka. I don't really care about that storyline. I think I'm just going to cancel it out. It's sort of just getting started, and I think we can just safely just not go anywhere with it. It says on July, a major storyline began when Ted DiBiase announced that he convinced Luger to join the Million Dollar Corporation. Leading up to the pay-per-view, Tatanka, who had been an ally of Luger for a while, confronted Luger on several occasions, criticizing him for selling out to DiBiase. Eventually, a match between the two will have to be held. So, in our world, we can just sort of pretend that that didn't happen at all, and just kind of cancel that storyline out, because I do have another idea for Luger. But we'll figure that out. What I wanted to talk about, and it's not even a storyline yet because the guy, we just signed him, and he's not eligible to work for a while. We could talk about this in our next podcast or our next sort of our next creative meeting here. We signed Chris Jericho. So he's 23 years old, I think. He's 23 years old. You know... he's coming in as a babyface, or actually a heel. I'd like to bring him in as a heel, actually. I'm thinking that I'd like to see a Jericho versus Savage feud at SummerSlam where Randy Savage puts over Chris Jericho. It's going to take a lot of work to build Jericho into a credible opponent for Savage, only because he's relatively unknown in the United States. He's a star in Mexico, and he's well-known in Japan, but he's relatively unknown here in the USA. So I was thinking that at In Your House, we do Jericho and sort of a main event tag team partner versus maybe Macho Man and somebody else, maybe Macho and Luger. So Jericho and whoever his main event partner is. I don't know who it would be. It could be anybody. It could be Jeff Jarrett. Maybe Jericho and Jarrett versus Macho and Luger. Something like that. But the story ultimately would be Jericho comes in. He's this cocky, new, young, greenhorn kind of guy. It pisses off Randy Savage because Jericho's full of, you know, he's full of himself, whatever. And it leads to a match at SummerSlam where Savage puts over Jericho. And the only reason I'm... Go ahead.
Macho is on commentary, right, in this universe? Because if we debut Jericho and he's running, you know, the standard promo that he's going to, you know, he's the new young buck, he's going to run the old guys out of town, you know, the dinosaurs are done, and he kind of points that arrogance towards Macho Man, and boom, you have a match.
Yeah, we could do that. So we could do a thing. I actually kind of like that. Savage is on commentary. Jericho cuts a long, you know, a promo about that, talking about, you know, he's the best, and it's, you know, it is. It's time for
right,
new blood or whatever.
Right, because Hogan's gone, right? Warrior's gone.
Right.
Andre is, you know, so it's time to weed out the last of the golden age and kind of bring in the new generation.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, that's kind of the way I'm thinking of it.
Unless we're going to sign Savage beyond SummerSlam. So that's your call.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you do. So his contract is up after SummerSlam. I don't see a real... If we're going to re-sign him, it's to do color. And I don't... You know, I mean, he certainly... I mean, we can make that decision afterwards if we want to. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him back. But you're talking about a guy... I mean, he's 41. So he's still got it. You know, he's not super old by wrestling standards. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him back. If we're going to put Jericho over him at SummerSlam, he may not want to sign with us because he's so much more popular than Chris Jericho. He's not going to want to lose to Jericho. So if we make him lose to Jericho, he's going to be pissed. So he may not even sign with us. He may not want to. So it's one of those things where... I kind of feel like, you know what, I want to put Jericho over him because I want to, at 23 years old, Jericho's got all the tools we know, you know, to be that star. And I've got just beautiful visions of Jericho versus Bret Hart matches. I think they could be great. Jericho versus HBK, there's so many possibilities there. And a win over Macho Man, I just feel like would cement him as a guy that could do that, you know, that would be a legitimate threat there. So I think we should put him over at SummerSlam. If Macho Man is willing to sign after that, then we could possibly consider doing that. But I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to be pissed off enough that he wants nothing to do with us. And, hey, if he goes to WCW, he goes to WCW.
I like it.
All right, so Jericho's the new Youngblood, cocky and arrogant. He immediately finds himself on Savage's wrong side. He cuts from about talking about getting rid of the dinosaurs. The two trade months of insults leading to a match at SummerSlam where Jericho...
So Macho could be doing color during In Your House also, and Jericho could just come out and, you know, there could be some shenanigans ringside. They don't even have to have a match at In Your House if you think about it.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, they really don't.
Or maybe Jericho, since he's a new signing, he has a match against some undercard guy, but you know, gets distracted by trying to get under the skin of Randy Savage at ringside.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good idea, actually, because we are. We're going to have to put Jericho over some lower card guys to get his initial kind of name out there. But yeah, I like that. So he's at ringside there, and yeah, he could be with Jericho can have a little match there, and then after the match, you know, maybe they brawl it in your house after the match. We could flesh that out a little bit more as we go. We don't have to do anything with that right away. Because honestly, up until In Your House, that storyline, all that is Jericho cutting promos, winning matches, and throwing barbs at Macho Man. It's not really going to pick up heat until after In Your House. And then those 4 weeks leading into SummerSlam, that's when we could really kick that into high gear.
Okay.
we'll revisit Adam Bomb versus Quang later. Again, I really think, honestly, I don't think anyone's going to care if we just end that storyline and then later on just debut Sid and Adam Bomb as a tag team. I really don't think anyone's going to care. But we'll figure that out. We're closing it out here. We're in our final 5 or 10 minutes here. We do need some ideas for Yokozuna, but we don't have to get that right now. The one thing that I want to do here is I want some off-the-wall, crazy kind of undercard things that we could do, even if it's dark matches, because I want to try and use everybody here. Now, we had suggested there was the idea of, you and I had talked about it, about doing, making the spark plug just our enforcer, and I love it. I love the feed him to the spark plug idea, so I'm down for that. If we just got anybody who's anybody who does anything that we don't like, spark plug. I think that's, we're gonna feed him to the spark plug. That's Thurman Sparky Plug, if you're, although we have fully renamed him now to the spark plug. That's what his deal is. But I love the idea of Spark Plug teaching Jeff Hardy how to drive. I want to have a bunch of segments where, and again, we'll just kind of spitball this on Monday Night Raws as we go. I would love to, on every single Monday Night Raw, even if it's a pre-show dark segment or dark whatever, I want Spark Plug teaching Jeff Hardy how to drive, with his beautiful feathered hair and his NASCAR. The other idea that I'm going to pitch here, and I'll get your take on it here, is I want a Dink the Clown mega push. So in this game, he's 37 years old. He's an old man. I say we pump him full of steroids and we give him a mega push in the sense that, so he's going to be about, 3'5", 345 pounds of solid muscle. He's pumped full of steroids and low-grade beaver tranquilizers. And
he could easily body slam Yoko then.
He could easily, yes. I'm thinking we run a Dink versus Yokozuna storyline where Dink the Clown, juiced up out of his mind, just, he starts going on just an absolute roid rage tear and ends up body slam. What if we just redo the Hogan versus... It was Luger. What if we just redo the Luger versus Yokozuna storyline, but we do it with Dink?
Yeah, I mean, Dink was way more charismatic than Luger, so... No, I'm kidding, but you hate Luger, right?
I do. I absolutely hate Luger. I absolutely hate Luger. I actually want to push Luger down into the tag division. I think if we have, on a serious note, if we have Adam Bomb and Sid Vicious, and then we have Luger and somebody in a tag division, I think it just does good things for the tag division. But we probably should have started with the Dink storyline so we could have fleshed that out. But I'm thinking for tonight, I'm thinking we're good to go. We fleshed out the majority of our hardcore storylines. We've got our main SummerSlam matches booked. And now it's just a matter of building that in, of building it into it. We'll figure something out for Adam Bomb.
And let's get Bob Holly over.
Let's get Bob Holly over. It's not Bob Holly. It's the spark plug. Get it right. His name is no longer Bob Hardy.
This is a closed door meeting. So we're gonna refer. Are we gonna keep kayfabe alive in these closed door executive meetings? Or
yes, he is not. We'll keep kayfabe alive in this one instance. There is no Bob Holly. There is only the spark plug. Can we get Bob Holly over with no storyline, just feeding him people. So he'll eat up Jeff Jarrett, he'll eat up Lex Luger. Like, could we get the spark plug over through a mix of beating up guys we don't like and showing a softer side by teaching Jeff Hardy how to drive a car? That's what I want to see. Can we get the spark plug over?
That's a solid challenge. I mean, what are his ratings? Can you just pull those up real quick? So
let's see. Spark plug Holly. Here we go. So brawling 60. He's okay.
Wow, his hardcore is a 22, huh?
Yeah, this is before his hardcore Holly. This is before his hardcore Holly days. Yeah, he's basically a brawler. He's an average brawler.
He has sex appeal?
Does he have sex appeal? 57 on the sex appeal. Yes, he does. I'm actually curious. What's Jeff Hardy's sex appeal? 65. That'll grow up as he gets. Who is? You know what? I want to see who is our highest. I'm looking for great sex appeal. Who is our sexiest? Who's our sexiest workers? Billy Gunn. He has a 79 sex appeal. Chris Jericho, 85. Lex Luger. Lex Luger's ugly as shit. What is his sex appeal? 76? And Shawn Michaels, of course, at 93. Those are our sexiest workers. So, so Sparkplug Holly does have some sex appeal, actually. And surprisingly, he's got a decent amount of it, too. At 57, if 50 is average, he's an above-average sex appeal
guy. This guy is a straight goon.
So that's kind of my...
I just love the idea of just the ominous sounds of NASCAR engines revving in the arena to distract the guys that we want to bury.
Anyone that gets buried has to go through Sparkplug Holly, and that's how you know he's in the area. It's just engines... What if any time Sparkplug walked by... NASCAR engines.
That would be, like when he passes by, like, I like it. There we go.
That's just going to happen. Book it. Love it. You know what? I'm going to write this down so we don't forget it. Let's see. Enter. Sparkplug Holly. These are our ideas for the Sparkplug.
So your selection, first feeding, is Luger. And you asked me off air, who do I hate that I want to feed to Holly, or should I say the spark plug? And my choice was Jarrett.
Okay, so he eats Lex Luger. He eats Jeff Jarrett. I think those are the initial first ones. Yeah, Luger gets eaten, Jarrett gets eaten by the spark plug. And who knows, maybe we'll make a star out of the spark plug. But I do like the idea that, like, if he walks past the camera, it's just... quick. If he's running, and when he runs into the Royal Rumble, it vrooms the whole way down the aisle until he gets to the ring. It just
vroom. And he has to do a lap around the ring like the Warrior.
Yes, I love it.
Or how about he never gets in the ring at the Royal Rumble? He thinks it's a NASCAR 500.
He just keeps running
continuously when he runs around.
Sparkplug just continuously runs around, and he only climbs in the ring to eliminate Lex Luger and Jeff Jarrett.
On a side note, I have in the background here the 95 King of the Ring running, and speaking of which, Bob Holly just made his his entrance.
Now, I mean, is he, in 95, is he still the Sparkplug?
He's still the Sparkplug. I mean, he's billed on the screen, it shows him as Bob Holly. His name, but Vince and the commentators are referring to him as the spark plug Bob Holly, and he still has the checkered flag tights.
So he still looks like an idiot.
Oh yeah, total idiot.
All right, well, I think that's gonna do it for this time around. We'll get building on the actually booking the shows. Again, if you're listening and you've made it through this entire thing, check out our YouTube channel. It's Book It Better. You'll find a couple of tutorial videos on there with more going up soon. And you'll also find eventually within the next week or two, you'll actually find the video of actually putting together these shows and going on there. So, if you've been with us, thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week.